It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 31st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, Microsoft's Build Conference kicks off in San Francisco. Build is an event designed to get developers excited about making things for its Windows operating system for mobile devices and PCs. And that's been a challenge because as app ecosystems go, Microsoft's hasn't been particularly vibrant in comparison to those of Apple and Android. There may be some light poking through the clouds, though. Bailing Yin is a researcher at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research.
I think that Microsoft is making the moves that it needs to make to struggle from a very bad place in the mobile device ecosystem.
And you say that they're making the right moves. I'm assuming that you're referring at least in part to the announcement last week that the company was going to offer Office for iOS devices as well.
That's right. So first of all, the fact that they've released Office for the iPad, and secondly, that they have been paying developers to actually port their apps from Android or iOS over to the Windows.
What else do they need to do? It seems like in some areas, this operating system is actually kind of popular, but it's not mainstreamed yet.
You know, Microsoft, one thing it has to its advantage and why it's been able to last as long as it had and still actually have some ability to make these moves right now is because it has very deep pockets. And I think Microsoft's big advantage is that they still carry a lot of the business from industry. So enterprise software still uses a lot of Microsoft products. But it's going to have to be a major move in terms of thinking about that larger vision of how does Microsoft leverage its advantage in the corporate world to attract the mobile users in the consumer world.
Now, Satya Nadella, you know, his background is in the enterprise world. Do you think he's well-positioned to do what you're talking about?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that he was chosen to take the leadership role at Microsoft is because that is where their strength is, and they've got to figure out how can we use something that neither Android nor Apple have as an asset in their repertoire to be able to compete in this mobile world.
Bailing Yin is a research scholar at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research. Bailing, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Among the endless list of health-related apps for your mobile world, there are a growing number of efforts to use your smartphone to deal with serious addiction. Alcoholism, for instance. The reviews of how effective these apps can be are mixed, but there's a new program at the University of Wisconsin that aims to support addicts after they leave a residential program, and it seems to be helping people stay sober. Dr. David Gustafson worked on the applications project called HS. Doctor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Tell me about this app system and how it works.
Some of the things that are done with the app are behind the scenes. For instance, the GPS system monitors the movement of the person, and if they come close, for instance, to a bar that they have identified as being a place where they used to drink a lot, the system can begin an accelerated form of rescue, if you will. Might start off with a beep or listening to a message of themselves talking about why it's so important for them to stay sober.
Could it connect them to a doctor or other caregiver?
That's exactly right. There's also a panic button that they can push, and then the system will find the person who is one of their supporters who's closest geographically and get access that way.
I know there's been some studies that said apps that were designed to treat people for alcoholism or other addiction were not very effective. Why do you think this has proven effective?
This system is set up in such a way that it's not only proven to be effective, but also has good theory behind it. The theory that's behind it is that you have to do three things. One is you have to help them become more competent at dealing with the stressors in their lives, you know, the cravings that they have. Second thing is you have to find a way of helping them get access to other people who are going through the same thing that they are. And then the third thing is that it tries to do it in a way that maintains their inner motivation to keep on keeping on.
How much data does this app store about the user, and how did you approach the questions and the dangers regarding, you know, a way that data might be stolen on this user or something like that?
Absolutely. There is a lot of information that's stored. We can track every keystroke that a person makes on the phone So it's also really important to be very forthright with the person, give them options about what they want to do. For instance, if they want to turn off that GPS system, they can do that. And not many do, but it's really important to be upfront about what information is being collected and what's going to be done with it. In our particular cases, we only use it for research. We don't sell the information or share it in any other way.
David Gustafson is the director at the Center for Health Enhancement Systems Studies. David, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
It's not available to the public yet, but if you want more information about this, head to marketplacetech.org. Hey, before we go today, it's Monday, so you may need this. I found a great time killer on the internet. For instance, when I type, hey guys, it translates to this. That's a creation of patatap.com. You go there and just start typing. Each key gets its own sound, and each time you hit spacebar, the set of sounds changes. It's awesome. You know how I sometimes say, I'm Ben Johnson, and that's tech on the Marketplace Morning Report? Or... Not bad, right? That's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.